I so appreciate the title that Jeff gave to our series this winter, Written in Red. It means a couple things for me, because I grew up with a Bible that was given to me by my parents, and it had, all through the New Testament, every time Jesus spoke, it was written in red. And that's kind of what the series is about. We're looking at the things that Jesus said to the multitudes and the crowds. But also, as I thought about it, written in red, and as we take communion today, He truly did write His words in red, His blood. And that means so very much to me as well. I'm going to show you a picture in a little bit. Nathan's going to throw this up. I want you to think about it. There's no wrong answer unless you get crazy in your way out there. But I want you to look at it and observe and think about maybe one or two words that strike you when you see this. As I was doing the series, this is one of the first things that popped in my mind. It's a very special picture that I have in my heart. I really appreciate it. Also, and if you know me very well, most of the time when I think about things or somebody says something, a song pops in my mind all the time, and I have to sing it. And a song popped in my mind as I was studying about the bread of life. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Oliver, but that song about food, glorious food. And I kind of just put in there, bread, glorious bread, hot sausage and mustard. Because bread played a significant role in the times of Jesus and then before. So we're gonna look at that. But Nathan, if you put this picture on the board, as you look at it, kind of study it, I'm going to give you just a little bit of history behind this. This was a photograph that Erik Enstrom did in 1918 for a conference he was going to. Later on, his daughter did some painting of it. But this is a famous picture. It means a lot to me. The title of this picture was given the name Grace. And this character is a real character. It's Charles Wilden. So, what do you think when you see that picture? Say it nice and loud. Thankfulness, is that what you said? Thankfulness? Don't be shy.
Lunch.
All right. In these days, it was called supper. Another one. Say it loud.
Prayer.
Prayer. Yeah. I thought of thankfulness. I thought of enough. As a matter of fact, this is one of Luann and I's favorite meals, soup and bread. When she was a mom, stay-at-home mom, we would get homemade bread and soup. Man, was that good. She promises me, now that she's going to retire in 2 weeks, we're getting homemade bread again. So I'm excited about that. Okay, I want to give you a little history of bread. Bread from my own experience. I grew up, and when my mom and dad took us out for dinner, they always had rolls for the dinner time before it came, and we always loved to eat the rolls before you're waiting for your dinner. Well, my mom would, as the dinner came and we were done with the rolls, if there was 3 or 4 rolls left in the basket, she would get a napkin, put it in her napkin, put it in her pocketbook. My mom's stealing. Then I realized, by law, they can't do anything with those rolls. You can't give them back. So she was just taking them home as if we all take packages home or take our meals home if there's some left over. My wife won't let me do that, though. So we're not allowed to do that. Rolls. I'm a Philadelphia guy. All right? I've been all over the country where they try to say Philadelphia cheesesteak. Mm-mm. If you don't have shredded steak and the roll makes the Philadelphia cheesesteak. If you don't have it, forget it. In my life, one of my favorite services here at Hope is Bread and Spreads. First of all and foremost, for the time of Thanksgiving, when each one of us gives an opportunity to give testimony of the faithfulness of God through that year. This year, unfortunately, we had to cancel that. But after the service, we have breads and spreads. And I love bread with butter on it. Lots of butter. And, you know, those fresh dough on the side and a little crusty on the outside. Bread means a lot to me, but not everything according to what Jesus is talking about in his day and even throughout civilization. Let me give you a little history of civilization. Out of my wife's bread book, it says this: bread is the symbol of goodness, warmth, and security. The Swiss learned to crush their barley and wheat in a crude mortar, just pounded it down. The Egyptians were said to knead their dough with their feet. Now, some say the Italians do the grapes with their feet, and I can understand that because eventually the ferment of wine can take care of that, but I'm not sure I want to eat dough that's been kneaded by feet. The Chinese and the Emperor Qin Yang, about 2800 BC, taught women how to be good wives, and part of that teaching was making bread from wheat and wine from rice. The Bible teaches about bread. Very first portion of bread, God told Adam in Genesis 3:19, "In the sweat of thy face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground because of sin." So bread became work. The unleavened bread is a powerful thing through the Jewish nation. And as they prepared for the Passover, they had to bake loaves of bread every night that was unleavened because it couldn't take time to rise. Unleavened is that picture of sin in our lives too. So that was very important to the Jewish people. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Who? You would think Jesus, but Jesus quoted Moses from Deuteronomy. And God was telling them, as important as bread is, what you need to understand is God's word is far more important. Bread in the world has always been a symbol of survival, of essentiality. Do you remember that verse in the New Testament when Jesus was talking and he said, even if your son, you fathers being evil, even if your son asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? How much more will your heavenly Father give you? So bread is a powerful picture of sustainability. And it fits well with our story here. Before we get into the passage of John 6:25, I want to give you a little review here of where we've been as Steve and Jeff shared the stories. We're we heard from Jeff the feeding of the 5,000. That Jesus took bread. Here a little boy had bread, you know, the typical thing for lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and God does the miracle of bread, and the people were filled, and there was 12 baskets left over. I couldn't help but think, if I was there and I had my fill of bread, I might sneak over to the other side of the crowd, and when the bread came around, fill my pockets up. Because I learned that. But I couldn't help but think, if people did that, and we don't know, possibly like they did in the manna in the wilderness, God allowed it to have maggots in it when they took it out. God was very careful on helping us understand our daily bread, as he said in the Lord's Prayer. So we have this feeding of the 5,000. Then the disciples go off their way. Jesus goes off their way. And Jeff was telling us last week about how Jesus comes back, walks on the water, and frightens his disciples. But here's, and I want to read this passage that just is really, really powerful about the people who are left behind. Here's what it says, just prior to John 6:25. Once the people realized that Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Now, this is a great example of if you took something out of context. They searched for Jesus. Wow, isn't that wonderful? But Jesus isn't too amazed by it. And here's what he says in John 6:25, and you can follow along with me. I want to read the crust of the story here. Excuse me. When they found Jesus, they found him on the other side of the lake. They asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, well, he goes right to the heart. "I tell you the truth. You are not looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your full." Now, think about this. Jesus absolutely reveals their heart right away. They don't want Jesus for the sake of Jesus. They want what they can get out of Jesus. He fed us bread. Maybe he can do it again. And Jesus makes an interesting statement here. You didn't look for the miracles. You wanted the bread. Well, in other portions of Scripture, Jesus scolds them when the whole fact of all you want is signs and miracles. They didn't even want the miraculous signs to prove God's deity. They just wanted what they could get out of Jesus. Fill their stomachs. There's a powerful question here. What do you want from Jesus? Meet all your needs? Touch us when we're sick? They're not wrong things. But is that what you look for when you come to Jesus? Let me go on and read this passage. Here's what Jesus says in verse 27. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So this is an interesting question. Then all the people, then they asked him, "What must we do the works of God's requirements that God requires?" That's a great question. But their hearts weren't in the right place. And Jesus tells them something that I believe is hugely powerful in this little story. Here's what Jesus says. Listen. "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Simple. We're not going to get into all the story here in chapter 6, but if you read it, it's a sad story. Eventually, not only the crowds just left him, and he's moving his way towards the cross, but many of his disciples leave him because he's telling them something very powerful. And I believe for the most part, they wanted Jesus for what they could get out of him. Oh, that our hearts would be ripped to shreds, that we wouldn't want Jesus for what we can get out of him. Let me go on and read. Verse 30. "So they asked him, 'What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe in you?'" Now there's that sign again. "Give us signs, we'll believe in you." What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They left out the part that they complained about it all the time. I remember that song from Keith Green. Manna again? Manana bread. Manana burgers. God provided for them the substance of life, and they complained. And now the crowd's using this as an argument. Going to give us bread from heaven? Because we want bread. We want what we can get out of you, Jesus. Here's what Jesus replied. Verse 32. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And that's Jesus. God the Son was manifested in the flesh, became humanity, to give us real bread. Bread that is essential for life. And here's what he says. Here's what the people said to him. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Yeah, sounds good, but they don't really want it. Jesus declared to them, I am the bread of life. What did Jesus mean by this? As bread is essential to living in the human form, Jesus is essential to be able to live in the spiritual realm. Because when Adam sinned, the world was contaminated thoroughly through sin. Man's heart became wretched. Without hope, there was nothing man could do on his own to be redeemed. But Jesus had a plan. God the Father had a plan. The Spirit of God had a plan. I will come in humanity, live a perfect life, and be the atoning sacrifice of sin. Jesus died so that we could be reunited with God again, our sins forgiven, and be restored and awakened to new life. As I thought through this in my own life, what do I really want from Jesus? What is Jesus telling me I really need from him? Or another way to say it is, if I believe in Jesus, what do I really get? If I just want Jesus for food, or for material things, or even for healing, which are wonderful necessities of life, and we pray for that, I am missing the very point that Jesus is saying. He is the bread of life. Without him, we have no life. But I wanted to make this point. There are hundreds of promises, positions that we get when we believe in Jesus. When we believe that God the Father sent his Son to die for us. But I want to give you seven. Now, we sang about a few today. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We get guidance when Jesus is our Lord, when Jesus is our life. Is Jesus your life? Do you want guidance, or do you make decisions without him? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide you. He will lead you to what is right and good and perfect. Oh, we get so much when we trust in the Lord for who he really is. Do I want bread from Jesus, or do I want Jesus? I'm learning in my life more and more, I want Jesus. There is nothing in the world better than Jesus. We're encouraged in the scriptures in the New Testament. When you find a pearl of great price, sell everything you have and go buy it. The pearl is Jesus. Are you willing to sell everything you have, give up everything to have Jesus? Here's what we get when we trust in the Lord as our Savior, our guide, our guard, our God, and King. When we want Jesus more than anything else, here's what we get. Nathan, put this up. We get bread. Are you with me? There it is. We get bread. That's all the crowd wanted was bread. We believe in Jesus with our whole heart. We get bread anyway. That great passage in Philippians. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. That passage in Matthew 6. Why do you like the pagans search after these things of food and clothing and shelter? Haven't you seen the sparrows? They don't look for their food. I provide it for them. And I love this statement. Are you not worth more than the sparrows? When we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, be my life, you get bread. You get care of all the fundamental things that the physical body needs. What else do we get? We get water. Steve taught on this with the lady at the well. Not only will we get physical water, as we saw in the desert when Moses struck the rock, we will get water that takes our thirst away. We'll never be thirsty. It's not talking about water to the tongue and thirst that way. It's talking about, just like Jesus says here, I'm the bread of life. Water that will give you life, that will satisfy, that will fulfill. We go after so many things that aren't part of what Jesus wants for us. And we think if we don't have it, we're lost. Only Jesus can satisfy our empty, sinful hearts. Here's what else we get. Freedom from fear. Jeff tossed on this list this last week. This is everywhere in Scripture. But the passage when he was walking on water and they were scared, and Jesus said, it is I, don't be afraid. When you and I receive Jesus as our Lord and King and truly believe in his power and who he is, I don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of what's happening in the world. We don't have to be afraid of ISIS and all the craziness that's coming. Are they doing horrible things? Absolutely. But Jesus, the King of the universe, will judge all things one day perfectly. And I am safe in the arms of Jesus. What can man do to me? They can take my physical life. That's it. God tells me to fear him who can destroy both the body and the soul. If you and I are in Christ, listen to this, we can never, ever be destroyed. That's who my Jesus is. Number four, I get forgiveness of sin. This is a common one, but it's a wonderful one. Psalm 103:12 tells me, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions or our sins from us because of the cross. We get the finished work of Jesus when we believe in Jesus. What else do we get? We get grace. Oh, am I learning about grace? In our Romans series, we learned Romans 5, 1 and 2. For we are justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we get peace with God. That's another thing we get. We're going to talk about that a little later. But because of that, I have entered into this grace that God has for us. When Jesus is your all, you get all of his grace. When you're not a believer, you get some of his grace. The Bible tells us that the grace of rain that comes from him falls on the evil and the righteous. But you and I who are in Christ get all of his grace. And his grace is sufficient for me all the time. You have to meditate on that one. God's grace is unbelievable. And it started at my salvation. Jeff used this verse last week, for by grace are you saved through faith. I don't have to work for God's salvation and forgiveness. It's based on his grace. It's based on faith, believing in the work that Jesus done. Wrap that around your head for a few weeks. Meditate on it. Lord, teach me your grace. It's beyond measure. What else do we get? We get the Godhead. We get the Father and all that that means. Someone who looks out for us and cares for us. We get Jesus, who went to the cross, who will stay close to us like a brother. We get the Holy Spirit. I put down Galatians 5:22. When we get all of God by faith in Jesus Christ, I get the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. It's all ours in Christ. We have to believe in it. We have to use all that we have in Christ every day. And all these promises will come true. What else do we get? There's hundreds of them. I only picked seven. We get fellowship with each other. 1 John 1:7. If you and I walk in the light, if you and I walk believing in Jesus, wanting Jesus to be part of my life, then love flows through me and love flows through you, and we get love here. The world can't have that. They can have a type of love, but it's not God's love. Whoever lives in God lives in him. We get God's love, everlasting love, unconditional love for each other. We don't always use that. Sometimes we get into some pickles and we're irritated about each other. But we have access to the love of God in our hearts so that we can love each other. Marvelous. Marvelous things that are ours in Jesus. And it's all because of the cross. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. This represents the work that Jesus did. Jesus encourages us to think about, as oft as you participate in the cup, which represents my blood, which died for you and takes care of your sins, and the body, which was broken, the bread, which was broken for you, it's all represented here at the cross. I have everything I need for life and godliness because of what Christ did. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up. We want to pass out the elements. We want to wait till everyone receives them. If you're not a believer, it's okay to pass them by. If you're not a believer, now is the day of salvation. You can receive him. now simply by faith in the work that Jesus did on the cross. This bread represents his body. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Do you believe that? As you partake today, just in a moment of silence before we partake together, tell Jesus that. "Lord, I want you to be my life. Enable me to do that through the power of the Spirit. Forgive me for the times that I don't do it. I want Jesus for who he is and all that he's done for me."